Hello, this is Humphrey Littleton with my 2006 audio diary. Hang on. Diary? I think that should be diary. Okay, let's go again. Hello, this is Humphrey Littleton with my audio...
Milk inside, Mr. Littleton.
Sam, do you mind? I'm trying to record a radio show in here.
Try telling that to my cows.
Do you mind? I'm trying to record a radio show in here.
Well, I've never seen that happen before.
Now, shove off. I wonder why he wears a bell on his hat. As I was saying, as we travel around the country making I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, I like to keep an audio record of events.
The first visit on our tour this year is to Bristol, where we're lodged in fine boutique-style accommodation. I visit the comfortable lounge and order a pot of coffee, but the waiter asks, "Are you staying in the hotel at all?" "Yes," I reply, "practically all of me." I find Bristol to be a fine city with much to be admired, until this happened.
We move on now to look at the world of TV and film. Last year, I'm given to understand, TV audiences were confused by a documentary on the Italian Renaissance, as they only knew Florence as a character in The Magic Roundabout. Idiots. She must have appeared in lots of other things. So in this, the age of the 10-second attention span, the teams are going to compete to produce the shortest possible rendition of some well-known films, programmes, etc. And Barry and Graham, you can start.
Romeo and Juliet. I love you.
I love you too.
I'm dead.
So am I. No, just kidding. Oh, bugger.
This is Brief Encounter.
Hello.
Hello.
I've got something in my eye.
Shall I get it out?
Best not, I'm married.
Oh, there's my train.
Goodbye forever.
Goodbye.
War and Peace. Oh, I'm glad that's over.
Wedding lost. So I expect there's a story attached to how you came to be getting this particular plane that crashed.
Yes.
Is it interesting?
Not really, no, but I'll tell you at some point. What's that thing in the bushes?
It's a metaphor for everyone's fear that they ever stop watching. Something will happen one week and they'll miss it. Ah.
The Matrix. What's going on here?
God knows.
Our next venue is Birmingham, where I stop off to buy a newspaper and a curly-whirly. As I take coins from my pocket, the shop girl grabs my hand and starts to count my money for me. Does she think I'm senile? I may be 85, but I can still tell the difference between a half-crown and a florin, thank you very much. This great industrial city first thrived thanks to its extensive and busy canal system. At its peak, 20,000 bargees had to be brought in each day to satisfy the canal manager's insatiable appetite for Indian food. Now a cosmopolitan city of rich diversity, Birmingham and its people pride themselves on extending a welcome to all who may add to its cultural tapestry. So while they were away doing that, the teams were doing this.
Words are constantly changing their meaning, so I'll ask the teams now to share with us new definitions they may have spotted recently. Graham, you can start.
Aerobic, a chocolate biro.
Tim?
Tadpole, ever so slightly Polish.
Andy?
Wastrel, a very idle bird of prey.
Barry?
County Down, popular Irish television programme.
On the subject, farting, Irish for a star. It's a farting, you see. Yeah. It's right up there. Oh. It's full of Irish, yeah.
Precipice, push-button toilet.
Parapet, an airborne cat.
Gastric, lighting a fart.
Cardiac, someone who knows a hell of a lot about cardigans.
Uncoil, French contraceptive.
And metatarsals, got together at Geoffrey Archer's.
Unscrew, French prison warder. There's a theme developing. Yeah.
Jacuzzi, Italian version of famous essay by Emile Zola.
Forebear, look out, there's a bear on the golf course.
Claymant, an insect that's had an accident at work.
Twofold, beginner's origami class.
Circumflex, to cut the end off a piece of wire.
Here we all are in Halifax. Our hotel is staffed almost entirely by Antipodeans, keen to impress with their quirky linguistic idioms. A request for a sandwich is met with, "You keep eating, I'll keep serving." A wine order is met with, "You keep drinking, I'll keep pouring." I don't dare ask where the gents' toilet is. Halifax was, of course, the birthplace of building societies, those philanthropic institutions to whom we owe such a great debt. So great, in fact, they frequently send the bailiffs round. The Victoria Theatre in Halifax is a huge venue with a capacity of nearly 2,000, and the teams are delighted to see an absolutely packed row 17, seats D to F.
Your turn, Rob. I'd like you to sing the words of Killing Me Softly with his song to the tune of The Bare Necessities.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. I heard he sang a good song, I heard he had a style, and so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song.
Well, you're no Jeremy Hardy, that's for sure.
And finally, Graham, would you sing the words of Blowing in the Wind to the tune of Day Trip to Bangor? Oh.
Oh, how many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, how many times must a cannonball fly because they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
We call the next game Word for Word. Barry and Graham, you can start exchanging unrelated words while Tim and Rob should listen carefully and challenge to take over if they detect a connection. I'll be back in a minute. off you go, Barry and Graham.
Moose. Bollard. Shampoo. Dilatory. Conditioner. Fecund. Hair.
A hair Tim. Out of Graham drops off every fecund. It's very unlucky, but he still looks very good, I reckon.
Hmm.
Shall we pick up now, Hump?
Pick what up?
This little bit of disaster that's fallen on the ground.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. Dissolute.
Tent.
Skimp.
Leave.
Skimp, Barry. Leave. Hmm. 60s rock band.
Seriously,
Red Charkwright and Skimp Leave, you must remember that.
What was their big hit?
You can't put Willy where Willy won't go.
That was before my time, Barry, but carry on. Carry on, Rob.
Carriage.
Poultry.
Railway.
Lamprey.
Graham.
They carry a lot of poultry on the railways.
Is that as in poultry?
Yes.
Sort of Welsh pronunciation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Right, Graham. They don't. Well, I'll accept that.
They carry a paltry amount of poultry on the railways. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Whose turn?
As I said 5 minutes ago, it's your turn, Graham. I accepted your very intelligent... sounding like Nicholas Parsons.
Hesitation.
I've come over all Nicholas Parsons.
That's a story I don't wish to hear.
You're seeing him in a whole new light now, aren't you?
Right. When this happens, you bite the inside of your cheek.
That's what Nicholas told you.
And that was just the first half of the year. On cassette number 2, you can hear... Hello?
Hello? Is that Samantha?
No.
Well, can you tell her that I'm in the hotel room? And I got her a glass of champagne, 3 dozen roses, and I'm ready for action.
What?
And can you tell her that I'm ready to slip out of that nice jersey she got me for Christmas?
She's brought you a pullover?
That as well. Oh, she's too kind.
Oh, I've got to get on with my dairy. No, Sam.
Oh, you meant diary.
Yes, on with the diary.
After their hectic schedule, the teams have taken a short summer recess to recharge their batteries, as their electric wheelchairs were running slow. The tour resumes by the seaside, here in Southport. Once the home of Emperor Napoleon III, Southport's main street was taken as the model for the great boulevards of Paris. The teams have been warmed by their welcome here as they took a relaxing stroll amongst the many burning cars. In a lull between rioting, several locals find time to witness the teams at play.
Our next game is adapted from Pin the Tail on the Donkey, and it's called Pin the Tail on Colin. This is very much like the party game in which children use drawing pins to stick a tail on a dumb animal, except that this version doesn't involve children. Obviously, needle-sharp drawing pins can be painful if stuck through the skin, so the teams have been provided with protective gloves. Okay, team, Samantha has handed round the tails, pins and blindfolds, so Colin, music, please. Tim, you're first. Blindfold on, please. Now, off you go and pin the tail on Colin.
Thank you.
Bad luck, Tim. Let's try that again. Barry, blindfold on. See if you can pin the tail on the donkey. Sorry, Barry. Good try, though. Your turn, Jeremy. Blindfold on and off you go.
Ow!
Unlucky, Jeremy, but I think we're making allowances. You're the guest this evening, so have some more goes. This is proving harder than I thought. Graham, blindfold on. Let's see what you can do. Not a bad round, I suppose, that round. I think next time we'll play without the blindfolds.
It's early November and we're paying a rare visit to London, where tonight the show is to be staged at the Victoria Palace Theatre. As I check into my hotel room, I find a card amongst the shampoo bottles which reads, "Please help yourself to our bathroom accessories." What a devil of a job I have getting a heated towel rail off the wall. Arriving by train at London's refurbished Victoria Station, the teams paused to take in the Geoffrey Archer Memorial, which lies next to Platform 8. Yes, even his memorial does it. London audiences are notoriously difficult to please, so right from the start, the teams put on their best performance. And when that doesn't work, they give up and go back to the usual stuff.
Tim and Rob, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Charles Darwin to the Archbishop of Canterbury, and then Barry and Graham will come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist, alternating one word at a time. When I honk... Oh, it's the end of the correspondence. Off you go, Tim and Rob.
Dear
Archbishop,
we
would
like
to
give
you
some
warning
that
we
might
soon
discover
a
reason
for
living.
This
is
quite
interesting
because
I
believe
that
we
are
evolving
something
shocking.
However,
you
might
not
think
that
this
is
so.
Well,
I
will
prove
to
you
that
the
monkeys
are
our
best
descendants
and
the
best
of
the
monkeys
is
the
one
called...
Bonzo.
Bonzo
is
quite
a
friendly
monkey.
In fact,
he is
sitting
on
my
knee
as
we
write.
However,
Bonzo
and
his
bottom,
big
though
it
is not
anywhere
near
as
I
thought.
So,
just
in
case
you
don't
get
the
message,
I am stating
the
obvious.
Yours
sincerely,
Charles
Darwin.
A response from you, Barry Graham.
Dear me. When
I
received
your
letter
this
morning,
I
thought
to
myself,
what
the
Dickens
is
this
all
about?
Furthermore,
I
thought,
monkeys
is
it
conceivable
that
this
man
could
possibly
believe
that
monkeys
are
the
antecedents
of
the
human
species?
And
furthermore,
I
always
am
wary
of
anyone
who
calls
me
a
charlatan
just
because
it
is
true.
Therefore,
I
will
write
to
you
and
say
to
you
that
these
monkeys I
repeat,
monkeys
will
be
never
seen
in
this
church
ever.
Repeat,
ever.
Repeat,
monkeys.
Yours, can't you are.
There's an old showbiz saying that if you can conquer the London stage, you can conquer the entire world. We are now in Sunderland. As the teams arrived at Sunderland Railway Station, the scene was like Beatlemania. The four of them leapt from the train and sprinted like fury to the exit, pursued by a screaming mob. Luckily, those ticket inspectors never did catch them. The final show in our 2006 tour was recorded today, Sunday the 26th of November, at Sunderland's Empire Theatre. The Empire was known as the Comedian's Graveyard in its heyday, which, according to the theatre's historian, was the 26th of November 2006.
OK, we move on to a new game now called Initial Response, in which the players must answer questions with words beginning only with their initials. Traditionally, of course, we were all named according to the day on which we were born. So, for example, if you were born on St. Cuthbert's Day, you'd be given his name, which has been a source of constant irritation to Cuthbert Garden, Graham's daughter. Although not as much as to her younger brother, Pancake Tuesday Garden. OK, the first question goes to you, David Graham Garden. What's your initial response to this question? What's your favourite food?
Devilled gerbil gonads. Yep.
And how about this one? Where would you like to live, Barry Charles Cryer?
Biker Civic Centre.
What about you, Tony Gordon Hawks? What is the strangest thing you ever saw?
Two goodies, Humph.
And how about you, Timothy Zebedee Xerxes Brute? I'm sorry, there must be some kind of misprint in the British comedy Who's That Annual? I think it should read, Timothy Julian Brooke Taylor. What's in your trouser pockets?
The Jolly Big Trouser Snake.
It says here, jolly good. What is your favourite sport? T.G. Hawks?
Tiny geisha hurling.
D.G. Garden?
Downhill granny gliding. Downhill, there you go.
Hey, how about this? What is the worst cabaret act you've ever seen? B.C. Cryer.
Bollock crushing contest.
T.G. Hawks?
Two goodies, Humph.
And the worst cabaret act you've ever seen, D.G. Garden?
Dostoevsky's Grunting Gypsies.
Bring them on.
D.J. Brooke Taylor?
Three jerks being toadstools. To music.
How about this? What kind of woman turns you on, Barry?
Buxom, cheerful, cooperative.
Well, there we are. That, dear listener, was my 2006 audio diary. Oh, for pity's sake, Sam, not again.
Hello, Mr. Littleton. Yes, milking time.
I thought I told you to shove off.
Well, I heard that the cows down a corridor to woman's hour, but Jenny Murray said they couldn't stay there. You know, what with all the filth and the smell and a fly swarming round.
Surely the cows would have got used to it.
You've no idea the state of that studio. They want to get a man in.
I'm sorry, but you can't bring cows in here. Why don't you herd them round to the Archer studio?
Oh, I dare show my face round Ambridge folk.
Or several other parts of you.
Still, it's not a bad idea. Those Archers know all about milking.
They certainly do. That last plot line was milk dry as a bone.
Ah, anyway. Merry Christmas, Mr. Humph.
If you say so. Merry Christmas to all our listeners and a very happy new year.
The best of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue 2006 was presented by Humphrey Littleton and Robin Perrons, with Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrooke Taylor, Jeremy Hardy, Andy Hamilton, Tony Hawks and Rob Brydon. Piano accompaniment was provided by Colin Sell. It was written by Ian Pattinson and Graham Garden. And the producer was John Naismith.